Life is complex. Join us for the simple gifts of wisdom, love, and delight in the written word. The Life and Adventures of Robinson Crusoe by Daniel Defoe. Chapter 13, Wreck of a Spanish Ship, Part 1. I was now in the 23rd year of my residence in this island, and was so naturalized to the place and the manner of living that, could I but have enjoyed the certainty that no savages would come to the place to disturb me, I could have been content to have capitulated for spending the rest of my time there, even to the last moment, till I had laid me down and died like the old goat in the cave. I had also arrived to some little diversions and amusements which made the time pass a great deal more pleasantly with me than it did before. First, I had taught my Paul, as I noted before, to speak, and he did it so familiarly, and talked so articulately and plain, that it was very pleasant to me, and he lived with me no less than 26 years. How long he might have lived afterwards, I know not, though I know they have a notion in the Brazils that they live 100 years. My dog was a pleasant and loving companion to me for no less than 16 years of my time, and then died of mere old age. As for my cats, they multiplied, as I have observed, to that degree that I was obliged to shoot several of them at first, to keep them from devouring me and all I had. But at length, when the two old ones I brought with me were gone, and after some time continually driving them from me, and letting them have no provision with me, they all ran into the woods, except for two or three favorites, which I kept tame, and whose young, when they had any, I always drowned. And these were part of my family. Besides these, I always kept two or three household kids about me, whom I taught to feed out of my hand, and I had two more parrots, which talked pretty well, and would all call Robin Crusoe, but none like my first. Nor, indeed, did I take the pains with any of them that I had done with him. I had also several tame sea fowls, whose name I knew not, that I caught upon the shore, and cut their wings. And the little stakes which I had planted before my castle wall, being now grown up to a good thick grove, these fowls all lived among these low trees, and bred there, which was very agreeable to me, so that, as I said above, I began to be very well contented with the life I led, if I could have been secured from the dread of the savages. But it was otherwise directed. And it may not be amiss for all people who shall meet with my story to make this just observation from it. How frequently, in the course of our lives, the evil which in itself we seek most to shun, and which, when we are fallen into, is the most dreadful to us, is oftentimes the very means or door of our deliverance, by which alone we can be raised again from the affliction we are fallen into. I could give many examples of this in the course of my unaccountable life, but in nothing was it more particularly remarkable than in the circumstances of my last years of solitary residence in this island. It was now the month of December, as I said above, in my 23rd year, and this, being the southern solstice, for winter I cannot call it, was the particular time of my harvest, and required me to be pretty much abroad in the fields, when, going out early in the morning, even before it was thorough daylight, I was surprised with seeing a light of some fire upon the shore at a distance from me of about 2 miles, toward that part of the island where I had observed some savages had been, as before, and not on the other side, but to my great affliction, it was on my side of the island. I was indeed terribly surprised at the sight, and stopped short within my grove, not daring to go out, lest I might be surprised. And yet I had no more peace within, from the apprehensions I had that if these savages, in rambling over the island, should find my corn standing or cut, or any of my works or improvements, they would immediately conclude that there were people in the place, and would then never rest till they had found me out. In this extremity I went back directly to my castle, pulled up the ladder after me, and made all things without look as wild and natural as I could. Then I prepared myself within, putting myself in a posture of defense. I loaded all of my cannon, as I called them, that is to say, my muskets, which were mounted upon my new fortification, and all my pistols, and resolved to defend myself to the last gasp, not forgetting seriously to commend myself to the divine protection, and earnestly to pray to God to deliver me out of the hands of the barbarians. I continued in this posture about 2 hours, and began to be impatient for intelligence abroad, for I had no spies to send out. After sitting a while longer and musing what I should do in this case, I was not able to bear sitting in ignorance longer, so setting up my ladder to the side of the hill, where there was a flat place, as I observed before, and then pulling the ladder after me, I set it up again and mounted the top of the hill, and pulling out my perspective glass, which I had taken on purpose, I laid me down flat on my belly on the ground and began to look for the place. I presently found there were no less than 9 naked savages sitting round a small fire they had made, not to warm them, for they had no need of that, the weather being extremely hot, but, as I supposed, to dress some of their barbarous diet of human flesh, which they had brought with them. Whether alive or dead, I could not tell. They had 2 canoes with them, which they had hauled up upon the shore, and as it was then ebb of tide, they seemed to me to wait for the return of the flood to go away again. It is not easy to imagine what confusion this sight put me into, especially seeing them come on my side of the island, and so near to me. But when I considered their coming must be always with the current of the ebb, I began afterwards to be more sedate in my mind, being satisfied that I might go abroad with safety all the time of the flood or tide if they were not on shore before. And having made this observation, I went abroad about my harvest work with the more composure. As I expected, so it proved. For as soon as the tide made to the westward, I saw them all take boat and row, or paddle, as we call it, away. I should have observed that for an hour or more before they went off, they were dancing, and I could easily discern their postures and gestures by my glass. I could not perceive, by my nicest observation, but that they were stark naked, and had not the least covering upon them, but whether they were men or women I could not distinguish. As soon as I saw them shipped and gone, I took 2 guns upon my shoulders, and 2 pistols in my girdle, and my great sword by my side without a scabbard, and with all the speed I was able to make, went away to the hill where I had discovered the first appearance of all. And as soon as I got thither, which was not in less than 2 hours, for I could not go quickly, being so loaded with arms as I was, I perceived there had been 3 canoes more of the savages at that place, and looking out farther, I saw they were all at sea together, making over for the main. This was a dreadful sight to me, especially as, going down to the shore, I could see the marks of horror which the dismal work they had been about had left behind it, namely, the blood, the bones, and part of the flesh of human bodies eaten and devoured by those wretches with merriment and sport. I was so filled with indignation at the sight that I now began to premeditate the destruction of the next that I saw there, let them be whom or how many soever. It seemed evident to me that the visits which they made thus to this island were not very frequent, for it was above 15 months before any more of them came on shore there again. That is to say, I neither saw them, nor any footsteps or signals of them in all that time. For as to the rainy seasons, then they are sure not to come abroad, at least not so far. Yet all this, while I lived uncomfortably, by reason of the constant apprehensions of their coming upon me by surprise, from whence I observe that the expectation of evil is more bitter than the suffering, especially if there is no room to shake off that expectation or those apprehensions. During all this time I was in a murdering humor, and spent most of my hours, which should have been better employed, in contriving how to circumvent and fall upon them the very next time I should see them, especially if they should be divided, as they were the last time, into 2 parties. Nor did I consider at all that if I killed 1 party, suppose 10 or a dozen, I was still the next day, or week, or month, to kill another, and so another, even ad infinitum, till I should be, at length, no less a murderer than they were in being man-eaters, and perhaps much more so. I spent my days now in great perplexity and anxiety of mind, expecting that I should one day or other fall into the hands of these merciless creatures. And if I did at any time venture abroad, it was not without looking around me with the greatest care and caution imaginable. And now I found, to my great comfort, how happy it was that I had provided a tame flock or herd of goats, for I durst not upon any account fire my gun, especially near that side of the island where they usually came, lest I should alarm the savages. And if they had fled from me now, I was sure to have them come again with perhaps 200 or 300 canoes with them in a few days, and then I knew what to expect. However, I wore out 1 year and 3 months more before I ever saw any more of the savages, and then I found them again, as I shall soon observe. It is true, they might have been there once or twice, but either they made no stay, or at least I did not see them. But in the month of May, as near as I could calculate, and in my 24th year, I had a very strange encounter with them, of which in its place. The perturbation of my mind during this 15 or 16 months' interval was very great. I slept unquietly, dreamed always frightful dreams, and often started out of my sleep in the night. In the day, great troubles overwhelmed my mind, and in the night I dreamed often of killing the savages, and of the reasons why I might justify doing it. But to waive all this for a while, it was in the middle of May, on the 16th day, I think, as well as my poor wooden calendar would reckon, for I marked all upon the post still. I say it was on the 16th of May that it blew a very great storm of wind all day, and with a great deal of lightning and thunder, and a very foul night it was after it. I knew not what was the particular occasion of it, but as I was reading in the Bible, and taken up with very serious thoughts about my present condition, I was surprised with the noise of a gun, as I thought, fired at sea. This was, to be sure, a surprise quite of a different nature from any I had met with before, for the notions this put into my thoughts were quite of another kind. I started up, and in the greatest haste imaginable, and, in a trice, clapped my ladder to the middle place of the rock and pulled it after me, and mounting it the second time, got to the top of the hill the very moment that a flash of fire bid me listen for a second gun, which, accordingly, in about 30 minutes I heard, and by the sound, knew that it was from that part of the sea where I was driven down the current in my boat. I immediately considered that this must be some ship in distress, and that they had some comrade, or some other ship in company, and fired these for signals of distress, and to obtain help. I had the presence of mind at that minute to think that though I could not help them, it might be that they might help me. So I brought together all the dry wood I could get at hand, and making a good handsome pile, I set it on fire upon the hill. The wood was dry and blazed freely, and though the wind blew very hard, yet it burned fairly out, so that I was certain, if there was any such thing as a ship, they must needs see it. And no doubt they did, for as soon as ever my fire blazed up, I heard another gun, and after that several others, all from the same quarter. I plied my fire all night long till daybreak, and when it was broad day and the air cleared up, I saw something at a great distance at sea, full east of the island, whether a sail or a hull I could not distinguish. No, not with my glass. The distance was so great, and the weather still something hazy also. At least, it was so, out at sea. I looked frequently at it all that day, and soon perceived that it did not move. So I presently concluded that it was a ship at anchor, and being eager, you may be sure, to be satisfied, I took my gun in my hand and ran towards the south side of the island, to the rocks where I had formerly been carried away by the current, and getting up there, the weather by this time being perfectly clear, I could plainly see, to my great sorrow, the wreck of a ship.
'Tis the gift to be simple. 'Tis the gift to be free. 'Tis the gift to come down where we ought to be. And when we find ourselves in the place just right, 'twill be in the valley of love and delight. When true simplicity is gained, to bow and to bend, we will not be ashamed. To turn, turn will be our delight, till by turning, turning, we come round right.